Welcome to the Junk Refund Show, hosted by Alan J. Cook, founder of 1-800-JUNK-REFUND. Have you ever paid those expensive junk removal companies to take away some of your stuff? Only to say to yourself, as a truck drives off down the street, some of that stuff wasn't junk. Did they try to sell it for you and give you some money back? No. Well, now there is a company that can do just that. Listen to our weekly Junk Refund Show on BBS Radio TV to learn how one lady spent $375 on junk removal and got $3,200 back. 1-800-JUNK-REFUND represents the next generation of junk removal. Learn how to not only save your money on junk removal, but how to get some money coming back. Plus, purchase one of our radio vouchers during the show to save even more on your junk removal. Let's get the junk out of your home and out of your life. Now, with your host, Alan J. Cook.
Great to be here with you on bbsradio.com with a great guy out in the Salt Lake City area named Dan Farr, who is the brilliant mastermind behind Sanex. And Dan, we love having you on the show. Thanks so much for joining us in what I'm sure is a busy schedule.
Well, thank you for having me. That introduction was giving me a little more credit than what's due. I think I'm an okay guy. I don't know if I'm a great guy, but we'll go with that.
Yeah. Hey, I got an hour to build you up, my friend. You're just getting started.
Yeah. Maybe by the end of this, we can get to that level. I hope so.
It's great to have you on. I'm going to have you tell us in just a moment, Dan, where you are right now, but I have to start off by telling you where I am right now. The great thing about doing a radio show with these brilliant brothers, Donald and Doug Newsome, they are identical twins, and they're the founders of BBS Radio, which I don't know what the BBS stands for. I'm calling it Brother Brother Studs because I think that's what they are. But if you talk to one of them, you'll swear you're talking to the other one. They have identical voices. They are radio voices, and they're just a couple of really cool guys. And so I'm excited to be on here. I am broadcasting this from the parking lot of Mike's Lazy Mike's Deli, 7049 Leesburg Pike, Falls Church, Virginia, where we just hauled away an old grill that they threw away that we will take to a scrap metal yard. They called us about an hour ago, and I thought, yeah, we got time to go pick this up. So I'm in the parking lot of Lazy Mike's Deli in Falls Church. Dan, just for fun, where are you right now?
You know what? I wish I could say I'm in the middle of southern Utah or some crazy spot like that, but I'm just sitting at my desk at work. So nothing exotic.
That's all right. We're thrilled to have you on. And would you just give people, and by the way, a quick shout out to your amazing younger brother, Dave, who I have known for 40 years or so when we were Mormon missionaries out in Missouri when we were about 19 and 20. It was my great privilege to be introduced to the Farr family as they assigned him to me as my last guy that I got to work with before my 2 years were up. And when they told me, they said, we got a bunch of new guys coming out here. We're going to send one of them to you. I was very simple in what I said. I said, send me the best guy. Just give me the cream of the crop. And they sent me Dave Farr, which has been a blessing in my life for about 40-plus years now. So you are Dave's older brother, and however you raised Dave, Dan, you did a brilliant job. You really did.
Well, here's the thing is Dave's going to be happy to hear you say that. I'm actually the youngest in the family. So.
I didn't know that. I didn't know.
Yeah.
That. Okay.
He'll be happy to hear that you're putting me in front of him. But he spoke so highly of you. I have to tell you. I mean, I've known about you for so many years. He always was talking about you and all the great things you're doing. And so you know, I just remember, yeah, you were the first person, you know, having served the Mormon mission myself, I know how important it is to be, to get started correctly. And, you know, you started Dave on the right path. And, you know, for that, you know, he, you know, the rest of his mission went so well because of what, you know, that really how you got him started. And so that was something that really meant a lot to him. And so obviously, Alan, your name is brought up all the time by Dave, and you know, he has so much respect for you.
Thank you. Thank you. That's nice of you to say. Where did you serve your mission?
I served in New York City.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Well, listen, we are excited to have you on today because on this show, we talk about, it's called the Junk Refund Show, and we talk about, you know, junk removal and how to get stuff out of your house and out of your attic and out of your garage. But then we kind of expand it and we say, okay, here are some ways you can get some junk out of your life as well. And I think your brilliant idea of FanX, and this is one of the main things I want to talk to you about, your brilliant idea and the way you've carried this out has been tremendous because it gets the junk out of tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, of people's lives for at least a three-day period, and it probably carries over throughout the year. There's a psychology about this that to me is amazing. As I was there last year for the first time, and Dave told me for years, you got to come to this. You've never seen anything like it before. You got to come. And so I took a day off. I went out and I helped out on Thursday of last year. Got to meet you briefly while I was there and just had a blast. So tell people how you came up with this brilliant idea of FanX.
Well, I prior to this business, I had a software company. We did 3D software and digital computer models that people could, you know, you buy the software, you can animate with it, or you can use it to illustrate and use the 3D computer models to set up your scenes. And about 15 years ago or so, we started getting some comic book artists that were using the software to illustrate the comic books that they were working on. And it was really fun to see the products they are coming up with. You know, the thing that's kind of nice about the 3D software is it allows you, you know, you picture like your screen is your camera, and then you can manipulate these digital mannequins, you know, for lack of a better term, to pose them. And let's say you're doing a superhero pose, you can adjust and create the, you know, the foreshortening and all of that just on the computer, you know, with the camera perspective you come up with, you can, you know, essentially create a lot of that stuff that artists have to train for years and years to be able to do. And so people would get, you know, at least use it as a maybe a template to start with, and then they could paint over the top or they could work with it that way. Anyway, so when we saw that, then we found out about these conventions that were happening around the country, and we thought, well, why don't we go and get a booth at these conventions and tell people about this software that we sell? So from the first couple of conventions that I went to, I actually got pulled into the energy of what the convention was. You know, it was so fun to see the great time people were having, and you know, see all the people, many people coming in cosplay, and then having a lot of the celebrities be there, and then the really fun pop culture vendor products that were there. You know, there was really so much, you know, energy in these events. And I thought, well, why don't we have one in Salt Lake City? Because I knew Salt Lake City was really big in pop culture. You know, I had heard stories of, like, for example, you know, when a Star Wars film would come out or when a Harry Potter film would come out, that the Utah theaters would lead the nation in attendance on opening weekend. And
I didn't know that.
Which was really, yeah, it was really impressive because people really love the pop culture stuff. And so I had seen a few other smaller conventions that were here, but they were, you know, kind of specific, genre-specific to gaming and things like that. We actually had a booth at one, and I felt like, wow, you know, this is just the beginnings of what this really could be if we brought in celebrities and comic book artists and more vendors and pop culture stuff, you know, in addition to just the gaming that was there. And so that's what we did in 2013 was our first year. And it was around the time that I was transitioning. We had done a merger and had sold a good portion of our company. And so I was transitioning out of that company and looking for something else to do. And so the timing was actually perfect because I was thinking, man, we got to bring this event here to Utah. And so I left my prior job in 2012 and started in 2013. We did the first FanX in Salt Lake. We started out as Salt Lake Comic Con, you know, ended up changing the name through that process. So if I refer to FanX, I'm referring to our event as it has been throughout all these years. It's the same event, just has different names.
Different, right. So, and weren't there at the time that Comic-Con started, weren't there a bunch of Comic-Cons going on around the country? I mean, they were in lots of different cities.
Yes.
That was kind of a term that was used, right? Because everybody knows kind of what that means.
Yes. There was over 100 when we started. There was over 100 in different cities. You know, the events I had gone to were called Wizard World, but they were Wizard World Comic-Con at that time. So,
amazing.
Yeah.
Well, tell me, when FanX is a 3-day event, right? And in Salt Lake City, and you run, I think you have three other cities that, Tampa, Indianapolis, and Atlanta, that you run similar events in. Is that correct?
Absolutely, we do. We acquired a company called Imaginarium who had started those other cities, the events in those cities, pretty much around the same time we started our Salt Lake event. And then the owners had decided they wanted to move on to some other things. And so we acquired it 2 years ago. We acquired those other shows. And it's just really kind of part of leveraging what we know in Salt Lake. We wanted to bring that to these other shows and also learn stuff from the staff that was involved in creating those or putting on those other shows. We've been able to kind of integrate our team to have a bigger team, but, expanded skill sets too.
Tell everybody, when is FanX this year?
Okay, it's in Salt Lake. It is September 21st through the 23rd.
Is that a Thursday through Saturday?
Yes. Yeah, we do Thursday through Saturday. It's kind of, our other shows we do Friday, Saturday, Sunday. One thing that I had seen a lot of times in other cities when we had done shows, when I was a vendor at the other shows and I attended other shows to kind of learn about them, I would see a lot of times Sunday would kind of be a wind down day. And in Utah, there's a fair number of the population that probably wouldn't attend a Sunday show anyway. And I figured, well, you know what, where the other cities where it kind of winds down on Sunday, and in Salt Lake, where there's a good percentage of the population that wouldn't attend, we'll just do a Thursday, Friday, Saturday show. And the thing that's been so nice about that is it really ends on its biggest day, where Saturday's always the biggest day in other cities, and so Sunday becomes kind of a less of a climax, so to speak. And that's kind of the pro and con of what we have going on here in Salt Lake. There's always an open discussion around whether we do add Sunday or not, but it just, you know, so far so good. It's worked really well to end on Saturday. You know, it helps a lot of people that come in from out of state. They use Sunday as a travel day to get home and get ready for work on Monday. So that's the feedback that we've received on that. And it works well. And in the other cities, it works well to do a, you know, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Friday,
so we kind of have
the people at Chick-fil-A are loving your Sunday off thing. I can tell you that. So they're right.
Yeah.
You're in good good partnership, I guess, with them, so to speak, and they're doing great.
Yeah.
You know, closed on Sunday, so good for you. Who are some of the top celebrities you have coming this year?
Well, one of the really big, exciting, really, it's a group. It's the Back to the Future group. So we have Michael J. Fox and Christopher Lloyd and, you know, Leah Thompson and I'm trying to blank on his name. I shouldn't do this.
I want to say Biff.
It's Biff. But yeah, but I always try, you know, I try to refer to their given names rather than the character name, because then people are like, what? You don't know my real name? But yeah.
See, Dave told me this, and I couldn't remember the name. He mentioned Biff to me, Jan. I think he told me the name of the actor, and I just can't remember. But I was thrilled to hear the Tom Wilson, folks.
Tom Wilson is his name.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Yeah. Well, what a great thing. Is this the first time you've had their cast come to a FanX event?
Well, we've had Tom Wilson before, and we've had Christopher Lloyd. And so we've had those two, but we haven't had Leah Thompson yet. And then, of course, Michael J. Fox, that would be our first time to have him as well.
What a terrific thing to do. What a great story he has. I think that's fabulous. And you, in this year's FanX, you'll have approximately how many celebrities there?
It's about 90. Yeah, right now we're looking at about 90 celebrities at the show.
Okay. When you started off in 2013, how many celebrities were at that event?
I think 22 or 23, if I remember properly.
Okay. So let's just say for 10 years, you've had an average of 50 celebrities a year, just rough numbers. You've had 500 celebrities come to FanX events, right? Just off the top of your head, pull out three or four names of some of your favorite celebrities that were either just rang a chord with you and you just became instant friends, or just some of the most popular ones that have been there. Give me three or four of your favorites.
Well, I'll say this from the very, just kind of like the biggest names, Chris Evans and Tom, why am I trying to blank on his name? No, I swear that Tom Holland. Yeah, I was thinking somebody else. Yeah, so we had those two. You know, not at the same time, but those are two kind of the biggest celebrities that we've had. And then, but as far as some just really fun, nice ones, you know, there's really some amazing people. Zachary Levi is so good with the fans. And he's such a solid individual. And so he, you know, people know him from Chuck and from Shazam. Henry Winkler is a lot of fun to watch with the fans. In fact, I remember when he came to our first show, he would have a line of people waiting up to see him. And so he'd be signing autographs at the table, meeting with him. Then he'd take a break and he'd go walk out in the line and he would thank people for waiting to see him. Cause you know, he knew that they were, So he wanted to at least give them some interaction while they were waiting to meet with them. Cause you know, they could be waiting, you know, half hour to an hour. You know, sometimes people are waiting hours upon hours just to meet a celebrity that they want to meet. And, you know, for him to take that time just to make sure that they were somewhat rewarded for that time in line is really, you know, it's just phenomenal. What a great person. Daniel Logan, who plays Boba Fett, we've had him back several times. He's really fun with the fans. Jess Harnell. Jess Harnell came in with a group of other voice actors. So Jess is a voice actor that best known for Wacko on the Animaniacs. And Jess came in and from the very first show, they did this panel called Twisted Tunes. And when they did that panel, we started them out in our second ballroom, our second largest room. And they filled it, and they had people that are waiting to get in. And I went in, and I saw that panel, and it was so engaging. I asked them, I said, well, can you guys do it again tomorrow in our main ballroom so we get more people in? And so they moved it to the big ballroom, and with I think it was at that time 3,500 people, and they filled that up. And so we basically had Twisted Tunes, and Jess Harnell has led Twisted Tunes every show since. So he's really kind of become, we joke about him becoming a mascot for the show. And if you watch the way,
that's great.
He really is. If you see him interact with his fans, he is so good. You know, there's people that will go and meet him. They may not be real familiar with his work, or they don't go to the show thinking they're going to meet him, but then they hear about him, and they'll go up to him in line and say, "Hey, I just, you know, my friends came over and met you, and they said how amazing you were, so I just wanted to come over and meet you myself." You know, and he gets that all the time because he is so good with people. This year we have John Rhys-Davies. He's Gimli on Lord of the Rings. He is
beautiful,
fantastic. Yeah. He is so good with the fans too. And I'll say this: is I have seen over the years, you get a chance to meet a lot of celebrities, and there's many of them that do these events on a regular basis. They learn to really enjoy their fan interaction, and they feel like it's their duty as a celebrity not just to collect the money and sign a autograph or to do a quick photo op with somebody, but they feel like it's their duty to give each person some experience and to have some sort of engagement. You know, there's certain celebrities that there's so many people there to see them that they can only get just, you know, 20, 30 seconds with an attendee. You know, it comes down to that, you know, just a real quick experience with them. You know, we saw that with Grant Gustin. We had him in our Indianapolis show. The thing about Grant is he was still so good at just connecting with each person that came through, even though he was getting, you know, 20 seconds with a fan or maybe 30 seconds at most. The fans were walking away. I positioned myself so I could see the fans coming away from him to make sure that they were still happy. And they were right. They were beaming. They were so excited. They felt good about that experience. And so, you know, that's always, you know, really nice when a celebrity will make sure that they want to connect and give something to every fan that comes to see them. Because they realize that it's their fans that made them. You know, without their fans,
that's right.
They're nothing. Yeah.
That's right. And I was so amazed to see the people that I met when I was there last year, just on Thursday, on the slow day, right? I was blown away by how busy Thursday was, and I was amazed at how happy these people were. Your wonderful sister-in-law, Emily, who is in charge of, I'm going to call it like Celebrity Row. I don't know if that's the right term for it.
That's what we call it, yes.
Okay, so she assigned me to William Shatner. And my job was to sit at the table with a lady and basically sell William Shatner's autograph, which was required absolutely no sales skill. All you had to do was sit there, and as people came up to get his autograph, it was $120 per autograph. And for 6 hours, the two of us sat there and worked with the lines of people that just kept coming, and it was all cash, who just forked out $100 bills and $20 bills for 6 hours, and they were so happy, they were so thrilled. That your point about how these celebrities go out of their way to make a one-on-one experience for a fan, in my opinion, is exactly why the fan goes in the first place. They want that one-on-one experience to meet William Shatner, for example, or whoever it might be, and come away right on cloud nine. And they'll pay the money to do that because it means so much to them. This is their shot to do it. So I heard on another podcast that you were on with Dan Clark, how you talked about the lines that were outside the Salt Palace when you first got going, and in various years, those lines could be, you know, 2 to 4 hours long. And it bothered you because you wanted to get them out of line and inside where they're, you know, interacting and doing what they need to do. I compliment you for your focus as the CEO on the fans and making it a fan-friendly, all about the fans, hence the name, I guess, right, experience. Because that's why they're there, isn't it, to have kind of a one-on-one experience?
Well, and that's I'm glad you pointed that out on the name, because we actually came up with that name after our first show when we did have those giant lines. And it wasn't that we started off thinking, oh, well, we don't care about people, but it's just we were so overwhelmed. Maybe I could backtrack in a minute and tell you what happened at our first show and, you know, just how it blew up.
Yeah,
you know,
sure, go ahead.
But I'll get to that in point, but I'd say that because people had to wait in line for 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours to get in, our mission statement became our name. So our name was our mission statement, you know, fan experience. That's what it's about. You know, so every time that we say the name of the company, we always think of the mission statement, because that's really what it boils down to. And, you know, as we curate celebrities to bring to the show, it is always highly important that we bring in celebrities that are going to be good to the fans. You know, there's some that maybe are not as good. You know, fans still may want to meet them, but we really do focus on people, you know, like Quentin Aaron. He's been so fun. He's from The Blind Side. And, you know, he played Big Mike on The Blind Side. And, yeah. You know, you watch his interaction with fans, it's like everybody gets a special experience and has, you know, a moment there that it's so valuable and so worthwhile. And you feel like, that's one thing with Quentin is, you know, you watch the movie Blindside, you feel like you know him. You know, you feel like right. You know, that's somebody that you would take into your home, you know, if you had that opportunity. Yeah, just you know, you feel like you understand why that character, you know, that the mother, why she would want to, and the family would want to embrace that character. Well, the thing that's interesting is we've had a chance to talk with Quentin, is they, when they were directing him, they told him, they said, be you, you know, you are who this character needs to be. So you don't need to pretend to be anybody else. You be yourself. You let your personality come through, and that, you know, and that's who he is. That's the type of person he is. So I told you I would backtrack and mention what happened at our first event. So in 2013, we announced our show, I think in like March or April, when it was going to be in September, and we started getting a lot of following on Facebook, and people were so excited about that. And we were like very encouraged, like, wow, this seems like it's going to do well. We had, you know, talking to a lot of the managers that book in talent, we were coming up with an estimate of how many people we think we could have at our first event. And, you know, somewhere between 10 and 15,000 people is what we started off, anticipating and hoping for. And at the convention center we were originally scheduled for, there's five halls there. Each hall is about 4,500 square feet. And so we rented one hall, 45,000 square feet. We had rented one hall at 45,000 square feet, and we had an option on a second one. So when we announced it, we said, you know what, let's go ahead and get the second hall. We're getting enough feedback, let's get in the second hall. Then we went.
And about how many people can you get in a 45,000 square foot hall, just approximately?
You probably could get 5,000 people over the weekend, I would think.
Okay. All
maybe
right. Go ahead.
Maybe yeah. 8,000, 5,000 to 8,000.
Okay.
So you know, maybe 10,000 if you really kind of pushed it and they were evenly spaced. But
okay.
So then we did get the second hall, and then have the option on the third hall. And then we decided to start announcing some of the celebrities that were lined up, like Lou Ferrigno and Kevin Sorbo. And I can't remember, we had a couple other ones we had announced, and people really responded very, very well. And it's like, wow, this is looking like it's going to be good. And so we decided to go to the third hall, and then we put tickets on sale. And tickets started selling really strong. Like we had sold, you know, a couple thousand tickets right off the bat. And the thing is, for an event like ours, chronically or historically, if you talk to other shows, they would get 50% to 75% of their ticket sales during the 3 days of the show. So it wasn't typical that people would buy up front. But when we saw that people were buying up front, it gave us, we became a little more bullish and started adding some more celebrities. And then we were toying with the idea of adding William Shatner to the show. And as we started selling more tickets, I went back to the manager and I said, hey, we're selling strong for this. I think we're probably looking more like 15,000, 20,000 tickets, for people at the show. And he said, well, that's quite a big expectation, but let's go ahead and let's book Shatner in. And so, because he had helped me book some of the other guests in first. And so we went ahead and announced Shatner, and this was in July. And when we announced him, ticket sales went from like 3,000 tickets sold to 8,000 tickets sold.
Wow.
And once again, anticipating that more tickets are going to sell between that day and the event, plus a lot of tickets selling at the event, we realized that we were probably going to be too big for the Southtown Convention Center. I think they call it the Mount America Convention Center now, which is more the center they use for the local, the bridal shows and the gem shows and things where they just kind of market to the local market. And to move to the convention center downtown, that would afford us not only more square footage, but it also gave us more access. So each, part of the square foot, the fire marshal is looking at, well, if there was an emergency, how fast can we get people out of the building? Well, the downtown convention center had a lot more doors. So therefore, per square foot of convention space, they would allow probably 2 to 3 times the number of people as they would at the Southtown Convention Center. And so just by nature of moving it down there, we ended up with 250,000 square feet. Originally we were at the 45,000 and, ended up at 250,000. We had, just even announcing that we outgrew the Southtown Convention Center and needed to move it downtown, that became a marketing event. It's like, wow, you guys, this is becoming so big.
Right.
We need to move downtown. Yeah. And we sold more tickets because of it, so kept selling. And then the week of the convention, we had, I think, about 20,000 tickets sold, 20 to 25, right around there. We were trying, we've been trying to get Stan Lee to come to our show for months. He ended up booking another show, and then he ended up canceling that show outside of us. It had nothing to do with us. Then we, the Monday of the show, I had reached out to the agent and I said, hey, we've sold 20,000 tickets so far. We're obviously going to sell more between now and the end of the event. And I also had Lou Ferrigno, who was coming out to do some press for us. I got to know Lou fairly well on a personal level in this process, and so I could call him, and he was going to come out early and do press. But he said, I got to go down to Venice. I'm getting a Lifetime Achievement Award, and Stan Lee's going to present it to me. I said, Lou, you're going to be a Stan on Monday? Will you tell him to come to our convention? And so Lou got down there with him on Monday, encouraged him to come to the convention. The agent was working his angle. We got a call on Tuesday morning that said, yep, let's get him in your show. We're like, really? Wow, this is giant. Talk about everything coming together. Even the fact that we were downtown, that's where the hotels and the restaurants and everywhere, that's the life of where the show needed to be.
Right.
We started out at the other convention center because that's kind of how these shows start out. But getting it downtown is really where the magic was. And so all of these things lined up in such a perfect way to create a perfect storm. And so basically between the time that, really when we started out to where the show ended, we estimate around 70,000 attendees at our first show, you know, relative to expecting 10 to 15,000 attendees.
What you were expecting, yeah.
Yeah, just giant. And so one other kind of fun story about that show was regarding Stan Lee is, you know, Stan agreed to come in on
Saturday.
Not
to interrupt you, but tell all the non-pop culture people who Stan Lee is, just so they know.
Yeah, okay, so Stan Lee is the creator of Marvel Comics. And if you've ever watched any of the Marvel movies up until a few years ago, he always had a cameo on every Marvel movie. You know, he was a big deal because he's, you know, the creator of Spider-Man, the creator of Incredible Hulk, and all of these, you know, amazing characters. And so yeah, he's iconic. And
yes,
we had a couple quick things. You know, Lou Ferrigno was at our first show, as I mentioned, and, you know, helped us get Stan. Lou was talking to me about, you know, I asked him, well, what size of panel room do you think you need to be in? And he said, well, probably one about 500 people is what he's used to. And even then, he probably didn't really fill those rooms. Well, we ended up putting him in the room that had 3,500 seats, and he filled it.
Beautiful.
Yeah, and it's amazing how that all worked out. And so then on the Saturday, Stan came in actually like around 12 or 1 o'clock is by the time he got to our show. And he had so much demand for photo ops and autographs that, you know, he was just overwhelmed. And I think around 5 o'clock, he was scheduled to do a panel. And the panel's where it's a Q&A panel where they get to get up on stage at 3,500 seat room that I was telling you about. You know, he was scheduled to be there talking to the fans. Well, he was so busy, his agent didn't want him to leave the fans that were at his table or the waiting for his pro photo ops, didn't want him to leave to do the panel. And so somebody came to me and said, Dan, we're about to have a riot. We've got 3,500 people in that room chanting for Stan Lee. They need him there. Can you help us talk this agent into getting them
That's
there.
Great.
I went up to the agent and I said, listen, can you do this? Can you just get them? Get all these people there. I said, well, listen, I'll tell you what I'll do. We can do it for 25 minutes. That's it. We'll get them in there and we'll have them say hello. And I said, you know what? That's fantastic. That's all we could ask. Let's do it. Let's get them there. And so we headed over. And as we walked in that room, the fans, the energy was just crazy. The agent looks up. And he walks up like on the stage and he looks out there and he looks back at me. He goes, Dan, can you believe this? This is crazy. You know, he was blown away by how many people were there because they were used to doing the 500 seat rooms. You know, that's kind of what was consistent with him. And to see that energy and that excitement. And then, you know, he pulls up his phone and he starts recording it. And he's just, you could tell that he's shocked by the energy. And same thing with Stan. When Stan sees what's going on, he has the same reaction. He's blown away. What was kind of interesting with Stan is when he came back, because we had him back a second time. When he came back to our show the second time, he goes, do you guys know that, I want to tell you, you guys have the best Comic-Con anywhere. You know, it's like,
That's
you know,
nice
and
compliment.
I haven't seen that he said that to every other con that he's been. You know, I haven't seen any other footage of anybody else where he walked out saying that. But part of the thing is we had is our governor picked him up at the airport when he got in.
Nice.
You know, had the governor's motorcade there. And then when he was coming back the second time, he says, hey, is my friend the governor going to pick me up again? You know, so I think just the Utah welcome really made a big difference there. But
that's fabulous. That's fabulous.
Yeah.
And you folks do it really well out there. You really do. I think that's true. Give me just a ballpark figure of what it costs to go to FanX. And I know I guess you can get tickets on FanX.com right now. Is that right?
Yes. Yeah. So like you can buy single day tickets and they range from, you know, $25 to I think $40, depending on which day you get. Or you get like a 3-day pass at $60. We do have our VIP passes, which are think they're $295 at list price, which includes a lot of perks, and you get a chance to, if you're going to go there because you want to meet a lot of celebrities, the VIP line helps you get through much, much quicker. You know, plus you get into the show earlier, so you get a chance to get to the vendors first or get to the celebrities first, depending on what you want to do.
If you want a photo with these celebrities, is that extra?
It is, yeah. So basically, people, many of the celebrities you can go up and just say hello to. That if, you know, if they don't have a long line, you can go up and just say hello. But mostly people are buying autographs or they buy a professional photo op with them. And, you know, that can range from, you know, $40 to $50 to, you know, some of our most expensive ones, and, you know, have been around $200 to $250. You know, it really just depends on the demand there is for the celebrity. Like the Tom Holland, obviously, yes. He was in that $225 or $250 when he came.
What's the most expensive autograph that celebrities have charged to get their autograph?
Well, in Salt Lake, it's around that range, the $200 to $250. I know that there's autographs. If you want to buy some celebrity autographs, you know, you could be $1,000 to $2,000. For like, you know, Harrison Ford or somebody like that.
Right.
And they don't do them in person. You know, a lot of those ones won't do them in person.
Well, I was amazed as I sat there and just kept collecting the cash. And, you know, one guy came up and said, I need 12 William Shatner autographs. And I said, okay, that's $1,440 bucks. And he went, no problem. And he just pulls out his wallet and just starts pulling out $100 bills. And I think he had a dozen little, I don't even know what you call them, Dan, just little, I'll call
they're
them figurines.
They're Funko Pops. Yeah, they're Funko Pops.
And he wanted them signed, yeah.
And he'll probably sell them for $350 or something like that, signed. And so the Funko Pops have done a lot for kind of creating more demand on celebrity autographs because people... Yeah. Can resell them, and they do. They sell for, like I said, they sell at a premium, and that's the one thing about a William Shatner autograph is, you know, you do get the experience of seeing them in person and saying hello, but quite likely, you know, whether today you could go and flip it and sell it for what you paid, I don't know about that, but you definitely, if you hold on to it, it's going to go up in value. Because, I mean, when we had William Shatner at our first show, I think he might have been at $50 an autograph.
So yeah, there you go. There you go.
Yeah, it's just gone up significantly from then.
Well, it was so fun to watch people. We had an older couple dressed up in their Star Trek uniforms, drove down from Rock Springs, Wyoming, to meet William Shatner. We had a family from Pasadena, California, that drove up to Salt Lake City to meet William Shatner, among other people. We had a lady who got in line and got to talk to him, got his autograph, came back to the autograph table and literally broke down in tears because she was so happy to have met him. And I'm sitting there just, you know, a rookie in this whole thing, watching this happen. Families, you know, mom and dad, couple of teenage boys, couple of daughters less than 10 years old or something. They're all there, six or seven of them. It's a family event. And they're coming with an old, I'm going to call it a Star Trek album, a 33 RP of some kind. And they're getting it signed by William Shatner. And this is like Christmas on the road for these people. This is one of the highlights of the year, you could tell, was this family event coming to Fan X to meet William Shatner and other celebrities that are there. And I just sat there in awe of how much fun these people were having by going to this event. And it dawned on me, you know, everybody probably has some kind of an event like this that they would love to go to and meet people that they kind of idolize, or I don't know if you say worship or respect or what, admire. There's a chance to get some one-on-one, you know, time with them. And it just becomes a marvelous experience. And for me, it was going to Augusta, Georgia on a practice round of the Masters Golf Tournament. And I don't know, I was probably 35 or something. And I'm out there collecting autographs from all these golfers that I've watched and admired for years. And you couldn't have dragged me out of that place, right? I mean, I was on fire. And I think that's exactly what happens here. What do you think is the main reason people go to FanX?
Well, and that's, let me just say this, is that there are so many reasons, but I do think the celebrity draw, as we've done surveys, we find that the celebrity experience is, the biggest draw to the event. You know, cosplay is also a draw. The vendors, the artists, the panels, there's so much there. And as, each of them register on the survey, so there's a reason, some people go for each of those aspects. But the celebrity is the biggest draw. Just go to chance, having a chance to meet somebody that they want to meet. And with the broad spectrum of celebrities that we bring in, we do that for a reason, just because we want to have a very broad appeal to the attendees. Somebody's going to come for one person, somebody for somebody else. I think we always, no matter who we announce, it always seems to be that somebody will comment online and say, you know what, I wasn't going to come to the show, but now that that person's coming, I'm going to come now. So
there you go.
Each person becomes a tipping point at some point on the lineup. So
now you're a 10-year veteran doing this. We're booking celebrities either with them or with their managers. Is there a celebrity out there you've always wanted to get that so far you just haven't been able to get?
Well, there are some, like Tom Hiddleston's been one that I've been trying to get. Keanu Reeves is another one. As far as people that would actually do it, because there are some celebrities like, I think, Robert Downey Jr., I don't know if he'll ever really make an appearance like this. I don't know. Maybe he will someday. But so far, he's been kind of aloof in that regard.
Yeah.
Johnny Depp, we put in an offer for him a while ago. We unfortunately didn't work out timing-wise, and I don't know that he is going to show up at one of these events anytime soon. But there's a list of people like that. Now, one thing that's kind of interesting, people ask me, say, well, Dad, who's your favorite? Who do you want to meet? And honestly, for me, the drivers are, I have a vicarious experience with the fans. So the experience that you were having sitting at the table and watching the fans interact with William Shatner and have that experience, that's what I live for. And so as I look at celebrities to bring in, I obviously look at who are those people that will create the most of that fan experience, that will reach the most fans. That's obviously a big driver for me. And, I look, like I said, Tom Hiddleston, Keanu Reeves is just giant in that regard. And I believe that both of them would also be ones that would give a good experience to the fans too. Cause sometimes there may be I'd say like a Harrison Ford. I don't know how his fan engagement would be. I know he's a, I've never met him. I hear he's a very, very private person and, isn't as outgoing in that regard. So maybe he wouldn't be as fan friendly as someone like a Tom Hiddleston or Chris Pratt or somebody like that may be a little more engaging with the fans.
But let me ask you this, going back to kind of the guy that set this up, your wonderful brother, Dave, I got to just do a little shout out to him. What do you like most about your brother, Dave?
Well, Dave's, he's got a heart of gold. I mean, from the beginning, Dave and Emily have been such a backbone for the event because I always know that they have my back. But clearly before that, just as a brother, Dave's always been like I mentioned before, he's my big brother. I looked up to because he was such a good athlete. He was very just talented person, and I always looked up to Dave. And at the same time, he's somebody that just would give you a shirt off your back if you need it. He would do anything for the people he loves. Yeah.
Wonderful. That's a great answer. Yeah. I'm gonna fire a couple more quick questions at you here as we get closer to running out of time. How many exhibitors do you have at FanX?
Close to 1,000, I believe, that we have artists and exhibitors, yeah.
What's the farthest anybody's traveled to come to a FanX event that you're aware of?
As far as attendees, we do have people that come in from Europe, and we have people that come in from South America. So we pretty much, I think, and obviously not being aware of everybody, I bet you we'd probably see most, you know, people traveling from most countries at some point throughout the years.
What's the toughest part of your job?
Well, I'd say the biggest thing is people interaction, sometimes helping to navigate personality differences and things. I think that's something that can be a challenge. Another thing that is hard for me, I don't like doing is, we are in a very, very good situation where I am constantly being approached about bringing fantastic celebrities to our show. And we can't accommodate all of them. And I hate saying no. In a perfect world, we could bring in everybody that wanted to come to our show. But the reality is we probably have more celebrities than attendees if we allowed that to happen.
Well, that's a great position to be in. That says a lot about your product, that these folks want to come and want to be a part of it. You're obviously doing something right. That's a great tribute to you.
Well, I don't necessarily own that all personally. I look at it, from the standpoint of just making sure we give a good experience. People like Emily, they have a lot of times have more interface with our agents and talent than I do throughout the event. So the experience that she gives them and her team, you know, that's a key aspect of it. But even more so than any of that, it's the fans. The people here in Utah are so good, and I say Utah, I mean, obviously, like you pointed out, it's not just Utah fans that are here. We've got people coming from all over. But the people that attend our events are so good to the celebrities, and they make the celebrities feel good about the experience of them being at our shows, and that word gets out there, and people talk about it, and the agents and the talent themselves. I've been told a number of times by agents and celebrities that our show was their favorite experience out of any show
that's
that
awesome.
They've done. Yeah,
that's awesome, and I got to give a shout out to Emily. She was the one that kind of put me in with William Shatner. She was my boss for a day, and I was thrilled being there. And I'll tell you what else was wonderful. I don't know how many volunteers were there to help out with this, but I was surrounded by them kind of on Emily's team there, and they were friends of Dave's, or they were friends of Emily's, or they were in a church congregation next door to the one Dave goes to, or whatever it might be. And these wonderful people were just volunteering to come down to give their time and their talents and just do their best to help out with this cause. And it was a wonderful thing to be one of these volunteers for a day and meet a lot of these other volunteers who themselves were just having the time of their life. They were just so happy, and they were having such a great time there. And it just illustrates the benefit that what you're doing gives to so many people across the country. Two last questions. How many people came to FanX last year in Salt Lake?
We probably had between 80 and 100,000 attendees is our best estimate. Because there are attendees, like we don't we don't track the kids to get in free, and you know, there's tickets we give away to schools and things like that. So so we can just kind of estimate that's about roughly the number of people that attended.
See, that's fabulous. And it is the largest convention in the state of Utah, I understand, which congratulations to you and all the people that are doing this. Final question kind of goes back to the first thing I mentioned. And again, thank you so much for taking the time to be on the show and just telling us your story. It's a fabulous story. Go back to that idea of people getting the junk out of their lives by coming to this event. Mm-hmm. It works. They get some happiness. They escape whatever, they seem to escape whatever problems they're dealing with or whatever concerns they have for 3 days of bliss. And it's really fun to watch. Do you have any other kind of closing statements to people who maybe have never been to a FANX event or anything about how this event helps people get some of the junk out of their lives and replace it with happiness?
Well, I think it comes down to we all need to have something that we enjoy to look forward to. You know, sometimes if we get so caught up in our day-to-day lives where we feel the pressure of things that just have to get done and all that, it can become overwhelming, and we do need a chance to kind of put that on a shelf, because it's always going to be there, right? And then go and have an experience. And you know, I have had a lot of people say that to them it's like Disneyland, you know, because that's an experience that people can look forward to. And this experience is, in a way, that type of experience of going to a theme park or going to a water park or just getting something that they really love. And that's where I'd say if people haven't done an event like this, it's absolutely worth giving it a shot. Because, you know, I do realize that this is not for everyone, that there are some people that, you know, I wish I could say that everybody in the world needs to have, you know, needs to be engaged and do this every time, but they don't. You know, it really comes down, because there's something called what I call the fan gene, where there are some people that are fans of stuff, you know, that they wear the Star Wars t-shirt or they have Star Trek collectibles, you know, the people that buy the Funko Pop,
right,
or the people that get excited and meet a celebrity. Because, you know, there's a lot of the population, people we know that, you know, I bet you there's people that you've talked to that, yeah, I was sitting with William Shatner for a day, and people were like, oh, that's cool, no big deal. You know, they don't care. And then there's other people that said, what? You were next to William Shatner for a full day? Oh, my gosh, how was it? You know, they want to know every detail. You know, did he talk to you? Did he, you know, or what? You know, they're going to want to know every little aspect of that, because they have more of that fan gene than other people. And so, and also it kind of depends on what, you know, some people maybe they don't get too excited about TV celebrities, but they get really excited about golfers, right? You know, they can have a fan experience meeting a golfer or a musician.
Right.
You know, I do think that there is a, you know, broad range of things that people will get excited about, but it is, you know, for those people that enjoy the Marvel movies, enjoy the actors, you know, maybe watch The Walking Dead or, you know, any celebrity lift-ups. Yeah. There's something there, I think, for as far as pop culture is concerned, there's something there for most people. And if they want to go and have that experience, I think it'd be very well worth their while to give it a shot. And by the way, you guys have, back in D.C., they had AwesomeCon last weekend. And so that's something, every year they do the AwesomeCon. I think there's also a show in Richmond, Virginia. But for people, listeners that are in your area, there's definitely these conventions back there, and they are fantastic as well. You know, John Rhys-Davies was at the, you know, he's going to be at our show this year, but he was at the Richmond show about 2 months ago. So you kind of have a chance to meet many of the same people. And I would always encourage people to go to a local event to have that experience.
That's a great point. I can't thank you enough, and I have to apologize to your brother, Dave, who I thought was your younger brother, but I'm just going to say it this way. He did a really good job raising you. How's that?
He did. I'll say that. He's definitely a great example to me. I love Dave.
I do, too. That's two of us. And I just can't thank you enough. Thanks for everything. I can't wait to come out to the show and volunteer again and just have them put me wherever they want to put me. But it's a privilege to have you on the show. Thanks for taking the time, and keep up the great work. It's been a lot of fun to talk to you, and congratulations on all the good that you're doing for so many people.
Well, thank you, Alan. Appreciate your help, and I look forward to seeing you hopefully this year if you do make it out, if not soon.
I'll be there September 21 to 23 in Salt Lake City. I will be there.
Yes.
So thanks again.
Well,
and thanks for being on
you.
The show, and have a great day.
Well, thank you, Alan. Have a great day, too.
You're welcome, Dan. Talk to you soon.
Thanks.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Junk Refund Show, the longest-running junk removal radio show on the air. Join us next week as we discuss innovative ways to declutter your home, your business, and your life using 20 years of junk removal experience. Find out why we give out free ice cream gift cards to our clients, too. In upcoming shows, we will explore how to get the junk out of your relationships, your spiritual life, your waistline, even your travel life. Plus, call in with questions and situations you would like some help with. At 1-800-JUNK-REFUND, we are committed to bringing the next generation of junk removal, because not all junk is junk. See you next week on the Junk Refund Show, every Thursday afternoons at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on BBS Radio TV.